Hey guys, good to see you this afternoon. We're going to spend some time in God's Word. And I've asked our sister Jinda to read the section of Scripture in Thai. Come on up, it's okay. And then I'll read it in English and then we'll pray. Thank you, Jinda. Thank you so much.
ค่ะวันนี้จะอ่านพระคัมภีร์มาระโกบทที่10ข้อ42ถึง52นะคะขอโทษค่ะข้อ46ถึง52พระเยซูกับพวกสาวกมายังเมืองเยริโคและขณะที่พระองค์เสด็จออกจากเมืองเยริโคพร้อมกับพวกสาวกและฝูงชนมีคนตาบอดคนหนึ่งชื่อบาติเมอัสบุตรของทิเมอัสนั่งขอทานอยู่ริมทางเมื่อคนนั้นได้ยินว่าพระเยซูชาวนาซาเรธเสด็จมาจึงร้องเสียงดังว่าเยซูบุตรดาวิดเจ้าข้าขอทรงพระเมตตาข้าพระองค์เถิดมีหลายคนห้ามปรามบอกให้เขาเงียบแต่เขายิ่งร้องเสียงดังว่าบุตรดาวิดเจ้าข้าขอทรงเมตตาข้าพระองค์เถิดพระเยซูทรงหยุดและยืนอยู่แล้วตรัสว่าไปเรียกคนนั้นมาพวกเขาจึงเรียกคนตาบอดนั้นกล่าวกับเขาว่าจงยินดีและลุกขึ้นเถิดพระองค์ทรงเรียกท่านคนนั้นก็ทิ้งผ้าห่มลุกขึ้นมาหาพระเยซูพระเยซูจึงถามเขาว่าท่านต้องการจะให้เราทำอะไรให้ท่านคนตาบอดนั้นทูลพระองค์ว่าท่านอาจารย์ขอโปรดให้ข้าพระองค์ได้เห็นพระเยซูตรัสกับเขาว่าจงไปเถิดความเชื่อของท่านทำให้ท่านหายปกติแล้วทันใดนั้นเขาก็เห็นได้และเดินตามพระองค์ไปต่อไปมาระโกบทที่11ข้อ1ถึงข้อ11นะคะเมื่อพระองค์กับพวกสาวกมาใกล้กรุงเยรูซาเล็มถึงหมู่บ้านเบธฟายีและหมู่บ้านเบธานีเชิงเขามะกอกเทศพระองค์ใช้พวกสาวก2คนสั่งว่าจงเข้าไปในหมู่บ้านที่อยู่ตรงหน้าพวกท่านทันทีที่พวกเขาเข้าไปพวกท่านจึงพบลูกลาตัวหนึ่งที่ยังไม่มีใครขึ้นขี่และผูกอยู่จงแก้มันจูงมาเถิดถ้ามีใครถามว่าพวกท่านทำอย่างนี้ทำไมจงบอกเขาว่าองค์พระผู้เป็นเจ้า ต้องพระประสงค์แล้วจะทรงกลับมาที่นี่โดยเร็วสาวกสองคนนั้นจึงไปแล้วพบลูกลาตัวหนึ่งผูกอยู่นอกประตูที่ถนนพวกเขาจึงแก้มันบางคนซึ่งยืนอยู่ณที่นั่นถามเขาว่าแก้ลูกลานั้นทำไมพวกเขาตอบตามพระดำรัสสั่งของพระเยซูแล้วคนเหล่านั้นก็ยอมให้เอาไปพวกเขาจึงจูงลูกลามาให้พระเยซูแล้วเอาเสื้อผ้าของตนปูลงบนหลังลาพระองค์จึงทรงลานั้นมีคนจำนวนมากเอาเสื้อผ้าของตนปูตามถนนและบางคนก็ตัดกิ่งไม้ใบไม้เขียวสดจากทุ่งนามาปูคนที่เดินไปข้างหน้ากับคนที่ตามมาข้างหลังก็โห่ร้องว่าโฮสนาขอให้ท่านผู้เสด็จมาในพระนามขององค์พระผู้เป็นเจ้าทรงพระเจริญทรงความเจริญรุ่งเรืองจงมีแก่แผ่นดินที่จะมาตั้งอยู่ซึ่งเป็นของดาวิดบรรพบุรุษของเราโฮสนาในที่สูงสุดแล้วพระเยซูเสด็จเข้ากรุงเยรูซาเล็มและเข้าไปในบริเวณพระวิหารเมื่อทอดพระเนตรทุกสิ่งจนทั่วแล้วเวลาก็จวนค่ำจึงเสด็จออกไปยังหมู่บ้านเบธานีกับสาวก12คนนั้นขอบคุณค่ะ
Thank you sister All right let's read it again now in English Mark chapter 10 starting in verse 46And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent.But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, Call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Take heart, get up, he's calling you. Throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight, he recovered his sight, and followed him on the way. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and will send it back immediately." And they went away and found a colt tied to a door outside in the street. And they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they said, and they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread out their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest!" And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us a glimpse at your glory, God, in this gospel, Lord, in this good news. Heavenly Father, would you please send your Spirit in a special way this afternoon as we cast our minds and our hearts on this scene, Lord, that happened so many thousands of years ago, but has deep relevance for each one of us today, God. Holy Spirit, we just would ask that you would give the gift of faith, Lord, to us here as your people, God. We want greater measures of faith, Lord. Lord, I just ask that my words would be your words, God, and I ask that everyone that hears these words of yours would receive from you nourishment, God, that they would receive blessing from you, Lord, and that you would do your deep surgery in our lives, Lord. We don't want to stay the same, God. We want to be shaped and molded and cast in the image of your Son, Jesus, God. We want to be drawn near to you, God. Lord, do this among us. I ask for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a pretty simple outline. We're going to just zoom in on the first section of this story. It's kind of long. We're going to zoom in on this story about Mr. Bartimaeus. And my outline's kind of simple. Number one, we're going to consider the cry for mercy. The cry for mercy. Then we're going to look at the call of mercy. The servant king. The restoration. And the way. Cry for mercy, call of mercy, the servant king, the restoration, and the way. We live in an age where people are crying out for justice. It just seems like it's everywhere you look. People long for justice. And I think the reason is we live in an age where we are just confronted every day with profound injustice everywhere we look. You know, in some parts of this world, people have so much abundance that they're actually eating themselves to death. And yet, in other parts of the world, children go work on banana plantations, spraying chemicals, you know, barely surviving. I mean, even in, here in Thailand, you know, this is the, I think, the number one destination for people coming for cosmetic or non-medically emergency surgeries. And yet, there's also people coming from other countries just nearby just to get, you know, a hospital where people wash their utensils and things. And so there's this deep cry in the human soul because we see these inequities. And yet, we also, we live in a world where it's easy to forget all the mercy that we all receive every day. We wake up and we hear birds singing outside, and they're just beautiful songs that you can't even capture. I mean, I love the birds here in Chiang Rai, and it's just, everyone can enjoy that. That's just a free gift given to everyone. We breathe air, some of it cleaner than other. we enjoy just the common grace God has just poured out on us here in this world. We see beauty, we hear music, we can pet a kitten or hear the laugh of a child. You know, these are things that God has allowed us. We can taste delicious, really, really cheap food here in Chiang Rai. It's incredible. And today we're going to be considering the fact that our God is a merciful God, and he's not like other gods or other so-called gods. Our God is a merciful God, and our King, Jesus, is a merciful King. And this just isn't, you know, we have this false dichotomy. I think a lot of people feel like the Old Testament, you've got this scary God who's out to just stomp you once you do something bad. And then New Testament comes along, and Jesus is the nice, cuddly, kind of warm and fuzzy person that we're happy to cuddle up with. But the Old Testament, that's not the same person. And yet, what we find, even in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 34, when Moses is, just like we were seeing, he says, God, I want to see you. Let me see your glory. And so God says, okay, fine. Puts him in a cave, and he says, all right, I'll pass by you. I'll cover the little crevice there while I'm going by, but I'll let you see my backside. And as God is passing by, here, I'll read it right here. This is what how God defines himself to people. Here's what he said. As he passed by, it says, Yahweh descended in the clouds and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love to thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children on the third and fourth generations. So God doesn't lead in his self-definition with, I'm seriously strict and you better get in line. You know, the religions of this world, this is how they define mercy. In Islam, if you want to get into the good graces of Allah, if you want to find mercy with Allah, here's what you need to do. You need to pray 5 times. You need to fast. You need to do the good works. And then maybe God will show you mercy. You know, we've got this big white statue over here on the side of town, and it's actually the image of a so-called deity of mercy. And yet, if you go there, you need to bring something to that God in order to try and merit that mercy. But our God is a God of mercy. He leads with abundance. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. He demonstrates it in so many ways. Even Theravada Buddhism, Buddha himself said, you have no one to help you. You have no one to help you. You have to do it by yourself. So the God of the Bible, the God of the Scriptures, Yahweh is a God of mercy. And Jesus, as the image of God, as God's display of himself to us, God in a bod. I had a friend who liked to say that. Jesus was God in a bod. And he came and he dwelt among us. And he started his ministry in the region of Galilee, and he started ministering to people. And what marked his ministry was preaching, yes, but showing all these acts of mercy, caring for the poor, caring for the sick, caring for healing people, and then casting out demons, people who are oppressed. And it says that every time he did it, like he tried to stop the rumors and the gossip from happening, but he couldn't stop it. People couldn't help but spread this good news. Have you heard about this guy? He's from Nazareth. His name is Jesus. And he's really merciful. He really cares about the downtrodden and the poor. And he's really helping us. Our God is a God of mercy, and Jesus is that God. But Jesus isn't just God and a merciful God, but he's also the King. And today we're going to examine that a little bit more. We find Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. He's spent a lot of time traveling around, and he is passing through the city of Jericho. And there's this man there. His name is Mr. Son of Timaeus. That's all we know his name is. Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. And it says that he's a blind man and that he's a beggar and that he's sitting by the side of the road. And he starts to hear that Jesus of Nazareth is coming. And he has heard these stories of this Jesus of Nazareth who cares and has mercy on people. And he's like, oh my goodness, this is my chance. Jesus is coming. This is the guy who can help me. And so he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, I don't know about you guys. I've been in environments where there are people begging for money. And usually the feeling I have, I'm just going to be fully honest here, I'm a little uncomfortable. That's not a comfortable scene. Just because there's this guy here and he's asking for something. And it's kind of like, I just kind of want him to stop asking. I don't know if you guys have, maybe I'm the only one. But that's just, it's an awkward social setting. Because I feel this obligation to kind of help him or kind of do something. But this guy, Bartimaeus, however you want to say it, he's upping the awkwardness. He's like, sweet, Jesus is coming. Jesus, help me. Show me mercy. And the guys are like, shh, quiet. But it doesn't stop him. He gets even louder. And he's just like, no, this is my one chance. You guys are going by the path, and I'm right here. And this is the cry for mercy. Guys, the cry for mercy is a cry. It's a prayer that's just totally shameless. Like, Bartimaeus, he's a beggar. He's got nothing to lose, right? Now, a few verses before this, there was this rich guy, this rich young ruler who was like, hey, I think I've got what it takes to be one of the disciples. So he comes up to Jesus, hey, what do I got to do? And Jesus says, hey, man, you need to like lay it all out. Give all your money to the poor. And the guy says that the guy walked away sad. And the disciples were like, what? That was like our number one recruit. That guy could have really helped this kingdom thing come around. And it just like was baffling. They're like, if that guy's not one, like if we can't recruit that dude, like this whole kingdom thing is not going down. And then we get to this guy, Bartimaeus, the guy on the social status. He's on the bottom rung, man. People are telling him to just be quiet and let the Son of David's coming by. This guy could really do what we are hoping will happen to these Romans. He could really deliver us from these oppressors. And yet Jesus, he stops and he hears this cry for mercy. And I just want to pause here. I just ask you, brothers and sisters, friend, like, have you ever cried one of these prayers? Have you ever just like been so desperate for God that you just could care less? Like you realize like you've got nothing to lose? This is the kind of prayer, this is the kind of cry that I think I mean, I'll confess, like, I don't always feel as desperate as I really am. And I know I am, but often I'm blind to that reality. So that's a cry for mercy. The call of mercy. The call of mercy. So Jesus, he stops and he hears Bartimaeus and he says, "Hey, that guy over there on the side of the road, call him over here." And so maybe it was Jesus' disciples, maybe it was one of the crowd, but they say, "Hey, take heart. Take heart, Bartimaeus. The master's calling you. Get up, get up, get up." You know, when a king summons you, you come, right? I just heard the story of after World War II, when the Emperor of Japan had been defeated, and I forget which general, I should know this. Anybody help me? General that came over to Japan to help reestablish the government. I want to say MacArthur? MacArthur, yeah. And MacArthur set up a little base camp in like a rundown old shack across the street. And a lot of people wanted MacArthur to just totally shut down the monarchy, shut down the emperor thing in Japan because it had gone so sour. But he didn't. He was really tactful. He was really wise. And he had all these kind of conditions for how the country was going to need to change. But one of the first conditions he had is, "The emperor will come to me." And everyone saw it. And they knew what that meant. They knew that there was an allegiance thing happening between the emperor and MacArthur. And similarly, Jesus calls people to himself. And when Jesus calls, we must come. And I believe Jesus is calling you today to himself, just like he called Bartimaeus. And he says, "Take heart, guys. Take heart. This is good news. This is really good news that Jesus is calling you to himself." And I don't know what the disciples were thinking. I mean, surely they had seen him heal. I don't know what the people were thinking, but Bartimaeus, he was stoked. He jumped up, threw down his cloak, and he's just like, "Okay, show me where this guy is. Please bring me to the king." And that leads us to point number three, the servant king. Bartimaeus comes before the Lord. And Jesus looks at him and he says, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Could you imagine just going to a monarch, any king, and having never met before, have that king just ask you this question? This is the kind of a question a servant would ask its master. "What do you want me to do for you?" And in fact, this is the same question Jesus, just a few verses before, asked James and John, who were really keen to find themselves in vice president positions in the kingdom. And he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" He's like, "Well, let us sit at your left and your right when you come in your kingdom." And it was just, the contrast couldn't be greater. I mean, they were looking to be elevated to a place of glory. And they didn't really understand the nature of who Jesus was as the coming servant king that Isaiah 53 talks about. But Bartimaeus, he knows exactly what he needs. He's like, "God, Jesus, Son of David, please restore to me my sight." And Jesus just serves him so well. I don't know about you guys, but like, I don't really like being served by other people. I like to serve other people. That's like, I feel better when I'm the one serving, rather than receiving service from them. Just kind of, I don't like feeling in debt. I like to kind of be the one, like, keeping other people happy, and to let someone serve you, especially someone that's higher, you know. I was just up at a training with some other, you know, teachers of the church in some places, and you know, we're all washing our own dishes and trying to like steal each other's dishes to wash them, you know, to kind of like serve each other. But it was awkward, you know, like you try and like show service to other people, and it can be weird. But Jesus, he's a servant king. He really came to serve. It says that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He came to lay down his life for the lost. And again, just the question to us is, have you received from Jesus? Have you received his service to you that he offers? He says, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, just let me recover my sight. Let me see. We serve a servant king. Then we have the recovery, the restoration. So he says, get up, go on your way, your faith has made you well. Get up, go on your way, your faith has made you well. And so we just say, okay, well, what kind of faith was this that Bartimaeus had? I want to kind of have this faith. And I would just say, like, true faith responds to the good news of Jesus. There's a response in Timaeus. He's listening. He had heard the good news about Jesus of Nazareth, and then even more good news, Jesus is calling me, and he's responding actively and quickly without hesitation. He's not like, well, wait just a minute. Let me go take a shower. Let me go put on some nice clothes. I wasn't ready for this situation where I'm going to be talking to you, Jesus. Like, he's just like, I'm there, you know, body odor and all. I'm full on. Just coming to you, Jesus. You know, true faith comes empty-handed. I don't know, when we're taking an offering here, guys, this is not like us like paying our dues so that we can come to church or to be close to God. Like, we give as a response, and we'll talk about that maybe a little later, but Jesus is just pouring out mercy. And if we come to him and we're just trying to give, you know, give him something in order to earn his mercy, that's just not the way it works. That's kind of what the rich young ruler was doing. He was like, what can I do in order to like get in with God? And blind Bartimaeus, the beggar, says, I got nothing. I'm a beggar. That's what I do for a living, is receive. And he was the one that was blessed. It's really hard to receive. You know, when Jesus said, you must come and enter into the kingdom like a little child, it's the same kind of thing. Like, I've never like try to give my kid a candy or a 5 baht, and they're like, I don't know. It's like, yes, I'll take that. Like, that's the way God is with us. He just wants us to take it and be thankful. The psalm that I always remember is, the psalmist says, I lift up my cup of salvation, and the cup is empty, essentially. We're lifting up an empty cup saying, God, please fill it up. Fill it up. That's what we give to God. And finally, the way. So he gets up. He says, get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. And Bartimaeus, he doesn't go home. He doesn't stay in Jericho. But he actually, it says he got up and he joined the crowd following Jesus to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. I would love to have seen this guy. I would love to know what his story was. How long had it been since he had been able to go to temple and worship Yahweh? You know, there was a lot of rules about who could enter into God's presence. And yet here he had been touched by God himself through Jesus. And Mark, as he's writing this, I really think he's being very intentional with this story. I truly believe that the Holy Spirit was inspiring him to write this in order that we might be kind of drawn into this story and really wonder, wow, have I received that kind of mercy from Jesus? And if I have received that kind of mercy, have I also chosen to follow Jesus on the way into Jerusalem? Throughout the last few chapters, Jesus has said 3 times, the Son of Man is going into Jerusalem and he's going to be put to death and buried, and rise on the 3rd day. And here, he's just about to do that. And the call of discipleship, he says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Yes, we come to God with an empty cup, and we come to him bringing nothing. And then he gives us the joy of jumping on the path of giving him everything. It's really nothing. It's actually us receiving from him as we are giving up ourselves unto him. It's a wonderful exchange. It's a much better deal. It's a much better deal to receive the resurrected life that Jesus offers rather than to walk according to our own way. This is the way of the cross. This is the way of discipleship. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has that famous quote, when Jesus calls a man, he calls him to come and die. It's really dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful thing because we know death is actually just a gateway into greater joy. Because this is not it, guys. This is so temporary. This is passing. Passing. Our present circumstances are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be revealed to us and in us and through Christ. So, brothers and sisters, are you on that way? Are you on the path of Jesus? It's a path of worship, a path of closeness to Yahweh. And as the worship band starts to make its way up here, I'm just going to pray for us, ask that the Lord would lead us as we go out from here on this path to Jerusalem. Lord God in heaven, Hosanna, save now, God. Save us, O Yahweh, Lord. We cry out to you for restoration, Lord. Lord, maybe some of us don't feel like we're blind. We feel like we see. Spiritual blindness is difficult to perceive because it's blind, God. Maybe we've been led by others who are blind, God. We would ask right now for your work of restoration of our insight into the reality of who you are as our merciful King. God, I ask that you would hinder all the lies that the enemy has sown in our hearts, that our Father in heaven is a cruel or unjust or miserly Father, and not a merciful, abundant, overflowing, gracious, loving God. Lord, these words fall short. Thank you that we have more than words. We have the cross to see your love. Your word says, call to me and I will answer you and you will glorify me. God, you are the giver. You receive all the glory. We come to you as beggars, shameless, desperate people with an awesome, glorious, merciful God. Lead us in worship, we pray. Amen.